I'm going to ask that whenever you find your place this morning, that you would stand with me as we honor the reading of the beautiful and incredible and infallible, perfect Word of God. James chapter 1, we're going to be looking at verses 19 through 27 this morning. And James says this, "Know this, my beloved brothers, let every person be quick to hear, slow to speak, slow to anger. For the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. Therefore, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. But be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. For if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he will be blessed in his doing. If anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. Religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction, and to keep oneself unstained from the world." God, we come before your throne this morning, and we just give these next few moments to you, Lord, as we look, even as James tells us to, as we look intently, Father, into this perfect word, this word of liberty that gives life, this word of liberty that, God, gives us freedom. God, help us today to have hearts, Lord, that are soft, Lord, to your spirit. God, help us today to have hearts that are just open to your word, because I know personally, as I have studied this text this past week, you've spoken to my heart and you've convicted my heart and you've taught me so many things and you've revealed so many things to me. And God, I just ask and pray that you would help us just to, God, be open to, God, what you would have to say to us through your beautiful word. Lord, your word is good. Father, your word is so good. It's there for us. It's there to teach us, it's there to guide us, it's there to make us more like Christ, it's there to teach us, God, your heart, it's there to teach us how to live, it's there to, God, do so many things in our life, and God, help us just to be open to what the Word of God says today. God, you know every need that's in this place today. For all those who are watching online today, you know everything that's going on in our lives, and God, we just give, God, as Mr. Bill prayed to you a few moments ago, we just give ourselves to you. Father, we give our nation to you. God, we give our world to you. And God, we just ask and pray that you would be glorified in all aspects of that. God, meet with us right now. God, may we feel your spirit. May we feel your presence. God, for those in this place today that just need to hear a word from you, God, would you just comfort their heart? God, for those that are in this room today that are waiting on you for something, God, would you help them to know that you're on your throne, that you are good, and that you are in control? Father, we love you. And we just declare today, God, that we desperately just need you. We need you, God. Without you, we are nothing. We love you, we love you, we love you, we love you. And everyone said, amen. Please be seated. So a couple weeks ago, Brittany said to me, "Caleb, I want you to go to Sam's and to pick up a kid's playset." So no problem. And I have a picture of that playset. So I went and I picked up this playset. And this thing came in 1 billion pound boxes. 1 billion pound boxes, 4 of those. And I had to go and I had to borrow Mickey's trailer to do this. And it took a forklift to load these things onto this trailer. I get home and in these 4 boxes, there are 50 billion pieces of wood. No joke, 50 billion pieces of wood. And in one of those boxes, there is a box of hardware that weighed about 500 pounds. And it was insane. I mean, there was all of these different types of nuts, different types of bolts, different types of screws. And every single board that you see in that playset, nothing was attached. Maybe a few pieces, but every single board was a single board. And I thought to myself, how in the world am I ever going to put all of this together with a little bitty Allen wrench? How in the world am I going to do this? So here's what we did. We took the boards and we separated them out. That took a whole entire day to do that. We took all the hardware. My son Colson, he did that, and he took all the hardware, and he separated all the hardware out. And then I went and I started on page one. And I got to page one and I was like, you know, that's not that bad. You take this bolt and you put it inside this washer and you put it inside that board. Okay, drill that together. I can do this, okay? I get to step two and the exact same thing. Well, that's not that bad. And step two kind of, you know, it was tied into step one. And then I went to step three and to step four, and every single step was like that. Kind of a little bit, you know, it was like, what's going on here? I don't see the big picture. But every single step, it was a very simple step. It was a very practical step. Yeah, in the midst of it, sometimes I was like, how is that going to fit here? What's going to happen with this? But I just continued in the steps. I continued in the practical steps. And at the end of it, after about 2 weeks of following step after step after step after step after step, all of a sudden, 2 weeks later, I have this playset in our backyard. And let me just tell you, there is no way that I could do something like this on my own without the practical steps. Does that make sense? The steps took me to this point. And that's what we see in the Word of God, but that's really what we see in the book of James. You see, James gives us very clear and practical steps that followers of Christ should live by in all aspects of their life. We see this really from James today. Here's a very clear and practical step that James teaches us today. And if you're taking notes, you can write this down. And the first point is this. It's that thoughtless speech and anger do not please God. Thoughtless speech and anger do not please God. James says to these believers in Christ, he says, know this. And this phrase, know this, this is an imperative. It's a command. What James is essentially saying to these believers is, hey guys, what I'm getting ready to say, this is something that you need to understand. This is something that you need to remember. This is something that you need to do. It is a command from James to these believers. He says, my beloved brothers. Again, he's writing to Christians. He's writing to persecuted Jewish Christians who had been dispersed all over the Roman Empire, and they had been dispersed because of their faith in Christ. So he says, know this, my beloved brothers. He says, let every person be quick to hear. And this phrase, quick to hear, it means be speedy to hear instead of being speedy to respond. He says, my beloved brothers, let every person be speedy to hear. He says, and slow to speak and slow to anger. And this verse, it translates really just like it sounds. He is saying to them, he is saying, in times of trial, in times of confrontation, and in all aspects of life, he is saying to these followers of Christ, he says, be quick to listen and slow to speak. And he's saying to them, as a result of you being quick to listen and slow to speak, you will become slow to anger. You'll become slow to anger. You see, what usually escalates a situation and causes anger? 9 times out of 10, it's based on what someone says, right? Or how someone says it whenever they're in maybe a confrontation or whenever they're in maybe some sort of an issue or a situation. So James is saying here that these followers of Christ, that they can control their anger and also the anger of others by the way that they speak to each other, by the way that they are quick to hear and slow to respond with their words. And then in verse 20, he says, for the anger of man does not produce the righteousness of God. And again, this verse, it really means what it says. It means that man's anger does not produce the righteousness of God. It means that anger is not pleasing to God. If you go and you read the book of Proverbs and you just do a word search of the word anger, you see that the book of Proverbs talks over and over and over about anger, about controlling one's anger. Proverbs 14:29 says, and this is not in your bulletin or on the screen, but it says, whoever is slow to anger has great understanding, but he who has a hasty temper exalts folly. Proverbs 16:32, whoever is slow to anger is better than the mighty, and he who rules his spirit than he who takes a city. So what James is essentially saying in these two verses, in verses 19 and 20, is that when Christians are quick to listen instead of being quick to respond with their words, James is saying to them, this pleases God. You see, any kind of speech that escalates into ungodly anger is dishonoring to God. Now, don't get me wrong, there is such a thing as a righteous anger. But a righteous anger is not what James is talking about here. You see, a righteous anger is being upset towards things like racial injustice, or being upset towards things like abuse or abortion or sin, or being upset based on the way that the world is heading. But James is not talking about a righteous anger here. James is talking about an unrighteous anger that does not honor God, that is escalated by the words that a person uses. He is saying here that thoughtless speech and anger do not please God. Today, on June the 21st, Brittany and I are celebrating 17 years of marriage. Here is a picture of us when we were, of course, 17 years ago. So we've been married for 17 years today. And I was thinking just the other day about this message and about just this illustration and this picture. And I was thinking about just, all that is happened in our 17 years of marriage. Of course, we've graduated college, we've graduated graduate school, we've gone to seminary, we've had the privilege of serving at five incredible, amazing churches. We've moved 12 times in 17 years. How did we survive that? We've had three kids, of course, during that time. We had a dog once, but we gave her away because we couldn't take care of her that well. We've also bought two white minivans during that time as well, two white minivans. And you haven't lived unless you've had a white minivan. We love our white minivans. Let me just tell you that Brittany Ann Jernigan is the hero of our marriage. Anybody that can stay married to a high-strung, high-stress pastor for 17 years deserves to be commended, deserves to be thanked, and I'm just telling you that. She is the hero of our marriage. But after being married 17 years, I'm starting to learn a very profound lesson. Like I said, I'm starting to learn a very profound lesson. And the lesson that I'm starting to learn is this after 17 years. It's this. If I think about what I'm going to say before I say it, and don't say what I want to say, then things go much smoother for me. You guys agree with that? Men in this place, y'all agree with that? Right? If I think about what I'm going to say before I say it, and don't say something dumb, then things go much smoother for me. All the wives are like, psh, to their husbands. That's a great point of application for us today, in our marriages, of course, but in all aspects of life. If we think about what we say before we say it, and don't say dumb things, don't say mean things before, and think about those things, things will go much smoother for us as followers of Christ. You see, this command from James, as he is speaking to these persecuted Christians, this command, it applies to all of us today as well, church family. It applies to our marriages. Whenever we think we should say something to our spouse, to maybe tell our spouse how it is, or to put our spouse in their place, maybe we should think about that before we say it, right? It also applies to our families. It applies To our siblings. We all have siblings in this place. Most of us do. We all have siblings, you know, that are older than us or that are younger than us. It applies to that as well, being quick to hear and slow to speak. It also applies to our friendships. How many friendships have been ruined over the years because of what someone has said or the way that they said it? It also applies to us being quick to hear and slow to speak whenever we're at that family reunion and the uncle's talking about politics. It applies to that situation when someone does have a different opinion than you when it comes to what's going on in the world or how we should handle things or politics. It applies to that as well. It applies to the workplace. Whenever you want to respond to that coworker with a good comeback, or you want to put that coworker in their place, or you want to put your boss in his place, and you want to tell him what for, being quick to hear and slow to speak, it applies there as well. It applies to that person who cuts you off on the road, and you want to tell them off, being quick to hear and slow to speak. It applies to social media. Should I put that on social media? Should I even say that? Should I respond in that way on social media? It also applies by the way that we text other people, being quick to hear, slow to respond, slow to speak. And as a result of that, it's slow to anger. It applies to the way that we text others. It applies before we send that email. Someone always told me, before you send that email, just type it up and then delete it. Delete it. Don't send it. Be slow to speak, quick to hear. It also applies, as James is writing here, he's writing to Christians. This applies to us as the church, as followers of Jesus Christ, as we are doing life together, as we are locking arms with one another, as we are moving forward as a people in a post-COVID-19 world. This applies to you and I today, the church, being quick to hear, slow to speak, and as a result, slow to anger. Again, the Proverbs say, whoever restrains his words has knowledge, and he who has a cool spirit is a man of understanding. Even a fool who keeps silent is considered wise. When he closes his lips, he is deemed intelligent. Gracious words are like a honeycomb, sweetness to the soul and health to the body. Let no corrupting talk come out of your mouths, but only such as is good for building up, as fits the occasion, that it may give grace to those who hear. As followers of Christ, we are called to be quick to listen, slow to speak. As a result, slow to anger, slow to cause anger. You see, gracious and kind words, we can flip the statement, gracious and kind words are honoring to God. Next, more practical instruction from James to consider for trials in all aspects of life. It's a very simple point. Obedience to the word is the mark of authentic Christianity. That's what James is really saying in this next section of scriptures. He says, therefore, put away, this phrase put away, it's the idea of removing clothing. It's the idea of removing dirty clothing. He says, put away all filthiness and rampant wickedness. That's moral filth. It's evil. It's sinful thoughts. It's sinful lusts. It's sinful desires. And then James says, this is how one takes off moral filth and evil and sinful desires. He says, and receive with meekness the implanted word, which is able to save your souls. James is saying here, by one humbly receiving the word of God, that they will be sustained in their walk with Christ. They'll grow in Christian maturity. By one humbly receiving the word of God, they'll become more like Jesus Christ. By one humbly receiving the word of God, he is saying that they will be delivered from sin and evil. He is saying whenever one humbly receives the word of God, he says it's able to save your soul. Moo. He's one of the top commentators on Ephesians. He says, Christians who have been truly born again demonstrate that the word has transformed them by their humble acceptance of that word as their authority and guide for life. And then James goes on to say, verse 22, and I think this is one of the most incredible verses in the Bible. It's one of those verses that you should have underlined in your Bible. He says, but be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. Very important passage of scripture. Be doers of the word and not hearers only, deceiving yourselves. And this verse, verse 22, this is the main point of this section of scripture. This is the main point of verses 21 through 27. How does one humbly receive the word of God? As James says in the verse prior to this one, how does one humbly receive the word of God? Well, they do what it says. That's what James is saying here. You see, church family, it's very important to listen to the word of God as we're doing today. It's very important to read the word of God. It's very important to do these things, but church family, it's more important to do the word of God. It's just as important to do the word of God. And what happens when one only hears the word of God and does not do what it says? Well, what James is essentially saying here is that when one only hears the word of God and does not do what it says, James is saying is that that person is deceived into thinking that they are right with God. That's what he's saying here. Moo goes on to say, the idea of deceive in these contexts is clear. To be deceived is to be blinded to the reality of one's true religious state. People can think that they are right with God when they really are not, for God's word cannot be divided into parts. In other words, he was saying that we cannot just pick and choose that in which we want to obey. That's what he's saying here. If one wants the benefits of its saving power, one must also embrace it as a guide for life. The person who fails to do the word, James therefore suggests, is a person who has not truly accepted God's word at all. Verse 23 and 24, James says, for if anyone is a hearer of the word and not a doer, he is like a man who looks intently at his natural face in a mirror. For he looks at himself and goes away and at once forgets what he was like. And what James is doing here is almost comical. He's basically saying, how ridiculous would it be if you looked at yourself in the mirror and you couldn't recognize yourself? If you looked at yourself in the mirror and you were like, I don't know who that person is. That's what James is saying here. It would be like looking at a school yearbook and not being able to recognize yourself, going, I don't know where I'm at. I don't know who I am. It would be like trying to identify yourself in a police lineup. If you were in a police lineup, and it would be like that, going, which one am I? That's what James is essentially saying here. This is almost comical. He's saying that it's absurd. He's saying that it's ridiculous. He's saying that this is what it's like for the one who forgets to do the word of God, who places no priority on doing the word of God. And he is saying to them, remember the word of God and do what it says. That's what he's saying here. Remembering the word of God and doing what it says. It's a very important biblical theme that runs all the way from the Old Testament, all the way through the New Testament. And then I love what James says. He says, here is the benefit of remembering and doing what the word of God says. You see, there is a benefit to you and I. He says this in verse 25. But the one who looks into the perfect law, the law of liberty, and perseveres, therefore being no hearer who forgets, but a doer who acts, he says, he will be blessed in his doing. That's a verse this morning, church family, that we have got to bank on. That whenever we read the word of God and we do what it says, let's bank on this truth that our lives will be blessed. This word blessed, it doesn't mean prosperous. It doesn't mean rich. What it means is this. It means happy. It means satisfied. It means being satisfied in God. This phrase looks into the James uses in verse 25. It means to look carefully at. It means to investigate. And it's different from the word looks in verses 23 and 24, which simply means to observe. And James is saying, when one looks into the perfect law, which is the word of God, and perseveres in it, which means continues to obey it, and is not just a hearer, and is someone who does all that the word of God says, he is saying that their life is blessed. And I love what James says here. He says that the word of God is perfect. He says that it is a law of liberty. You see, church family, the word of God it's not a word that hinders. It's a word that gives freedom. It's a word that gives full and complete life. It is a perfect word. And then James here in this next section of scripture, he lists three ways that believers can practically do the word of God. Number one, by controlling their tongue and what they say. He reiterates that. Number two, by having a concern for and helping the helpless. And number three, by avoiding worldliness. Look at what he says in verse 26. He says, if anyone thinks he is religious and does not bridle his tongue, which means to keep a tight rein on, he says, but deceives his heart, this person's religion is worthless. In other words, he's reiterating what he had said earlier. If one cannot control their talk and what they say and how they say it and the way that they speak to other people, he is saying that they are deceived into thinking that they are right with God. Verse 27, he says, religion that is pure and undefiled before God the Father is this, to visit orphans and widows in their affliction. And this is another way that believers can practically do the word of God, by looking out for and taking care of the helpless, by looking out for and taking care of widows and orphans, by looking out for the homeless and taking care of the homeless, by looking out for and taking care of the handicapped, by taking care of the sick, by looking out for and taking care of those in third world countries. This is why we go on mission trips to third world countries. You see, these are acts of practically doing the word of God. The third practical way, he says, is this, and to keep oneself unstained from the world. What's he mean when he says this? This means to stay away from worldliness that can corrupt one's heart. This means to stay away from sin. So in this section of scripture, he is saying that obedience to the word of God is the mark of authentic Christianity. And three very practical ways that believers can do the word of God are by controlling their tongue and what they say. He reiterates that over and over in this text. By having a concern for and helping the helpless, by serving other people, and by avoiding worldliness. You see, church family, the very first step to authentic Christianity is trusting Christ as Lord and Savior for the forgiveness of sin. That's the very first step. It's coming to this realization that we are sinners and that we need a Savior, and then placing our faith and our hope and our trust in Jesus Christ and his finished work on the cross. It's receiving that free gift of salvation. It's not something that we earn. It's something that we receive from God. We do nothing for our salvation. That's the very first step to authentic Christianity. But whenever we do receive that free gift, what do we do next? We do the word of God. That's the application for us today. We receive the salvation of God free. And then after that, we do the word of God because of what Christ has done for us. What's that mean for us? What's the application for us today? Well, it's very simple. It's very simple for us today, church family. It's this. It's to read the word of God. It's to get into this incredible, incredible book every single day, and then to obey this book, even when it goes against our flesh. And let me just tell you, church family, whenever you're reading this book, it's going to go against your flesh. It's going to go against the conventional wisdom of this world, but that doesn't matter. We do the Word of God even if it doesn't make sense. We read this book. So the question that I have for you and the question that I have for all of us in this place today is this: what is your system? What is your method to read the Word of God, to study the beautiful Word of God? How are you doing that? For me personally, I have a yearly Bible reading plan that I go by. I simply do that every single day. Of course, there are days that, you know, I have to skip it for some crazy reason. But most days, I'm just simply following this Bible reading plan. And we just, right now, I'm in the very first part of Chronicles. If you've ever read the first part of Chronicles, you're scratching your head. But you know what? As we read the Bible, things start to make sense to us. As we study the Bible and we see it in context, things start to make sense to us. And the Word of God is getting into our hearts. And it's changing our lives. So the application for us today is to read the Word of God. Find a system, whether that's listening to it on your phone or flipping through it on a Bible app or however you choose to do that. Get a system and to read the Word of God and to do what it says, even if it doesn't make sense, and stand upon its principles. And again, the principles that this amazing book teaches, it will go against the principles of the world. But we stand upon its principles, even when it goes against conventional wisdom. When the Word of God is taught, whenever you listen to it, maybe in a Sunday school class or the preaching of the Word of God like we're doing today, we don't take offense at it. As I've read the book of James thus far, I'm like, James, man, you're saying some hard stuff. You're saying some tough stuff. But listen, whenever we hear the Word of God, whenever we read the Word of God, we don't take offense at it. We receive it humbly, as James says, and we obey it. And what does James say? It's able to save our souls. So lastly, I want to give you just three more quick points of application. How in the world can we do this? How in the world can we be a people who are quick to hear, slow to respond, slow to anger? How in the world can we be a people who simply obey all aspects of the Word of God? You can write this down. Number one, let's look to Jesus as our example. Let's look to Jesus as our example. You see, Jesus Christ is the only one who has ever lived this out perfectly. There's no way that I could live this out perfectly. There's no way that you could live this out perfectly. Does that mean we don't try? No, we still want to honor God by the way that we listen, by the way that we respond, by the way that we obey the Word of God. But who do we look at to our example? As our example, it's the Son of God. It's Jesus Christ. It's the one who came to this planet and lived this out perfectly. And how do we see his example? Well, it goes back to this book. It goes back to this word as we read the Gospels and we see the way that he lived his life, as he lived his life serving others and taking care of others and giving his life for others and was there to love the unlovable. We follow him. We look to him. We follow his example, and we see his example in the Gospels, in the Word of God. We follow his example. We look to him. Peter says, "For to this you have been called. To this you have been called because Christ also suffered for you, leaving you an example so that you might follow in his steps." Paul says, "Therefore be imitators of God as beloved children. Follow him, follow his example, the example of his Son, and walk in love as Christ loved us and gave himself up for us, a fragrant offering and sacrifice to God." May we look to Jesus Christ and his example. Number two, how do we do this? We must live in total dependence on Jesus. Total dependence on Jesus. You see, in our own flesh, in my own flesh, there's no way that I can be a person in my own flesh that is someone who is slow to speak, quick to hear, slow to anger, and someone who obeys the Word of God. I cannot do that in my own flesh. It's impossible. Because of that, I had to look to Christ. I had to depend on Christ. I had to depend on the Spirit of God who is living inside of me. Every single day, we had to live in dependence on Jesus. Before we want to say that word, "Jesus, help me." before we want to respond in anger, Jesus, help me. Before I want to disobey what the Word of God says, Jesus, help me to do what the Word says. It's living in total dependence on Jesus. Jesus says, abide in me. That means to remain in me. It means to walk with me. It means to stay with me. That's what he's saying to us. And I in you, as the branch cannot bear fruit by itself unless it abides in the vine. Neither can you unless you abide in me. He says, I am the vine. You are the branches. Whoever abides in me, that means to stay with him. Whoever abides in me and I in him, he it is that bears much fruit. For apart from me, you can do nothing. We can't do it on our own, church family. I cannot. I will fail every single time. I have to have total dependence on Christ to live out what James is calling us to do today. It also means making sure that I'm watching my heart and I'm not allowing things of the world to penetrate my heart. This verse is not on the screen, but Luke says, the good person out of the good treasure of his heart produces good. The evil person out of his evil treasure produces evil. For out of the abundance of the heart, his mouth speaks. It means that I have to guard my heart, as the Proverbs tell us. Guard my heart, not to allow corruption and sin and by what I see going on in the world on the internet and TV to corrupt my heart. It means to guard my heart, because out of the heart we speak and we respond. We live in total dependence on Jesus. We look to Jesus as our example. And lastly, what does this mean for us? How can we apply this to our life? And this last point's for me. I'm just going to be honest with you, but I think maybe one or two of you may need to hear this today. This last point. It's this, it's rest in the grace of Jesus for my shortcomings. And I believe that we all need to hear that today, because what James is calling us to do, it's difficult. And the only way that we can do it is by the Spirit of God living inside of us today. And if you're like me, you're listening to James today and you're reading the book of James today and you're like, oh my goodness, James, wow. But I want to say to you, I'm going to say to myself today, rest in the grace of Jesus today. If you were perfect, you would not need Jesus. I'm going to say that again. If you were perfect and you could live this out perfectly, you would not need Christ. That's why we need Jesus, because of our shortcomings, because of the times when we've made mistakes, because of the times when we will make mistakes, we can rest in Jesus. Jesus himself says to you, he says to me, come to me, all who labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you. Learn from me, for I am gentle and lowly in heart, and you will find rest for your souls. For my yoke is easy, and my burden is light. Would you bow your heads with me this morning? With your head bowed and your eyes closed, the very first step to living in total dependence on Jesus is trusting him as Lord and Savior. We talked about that a few moments ago. That's the very first step to authentic Christianity. It's trusting him as Lord. It's not something you earn, not something you have to do. No, you trust the finished work of Christ on the cross. What's that? That's the Easter story, that Jesus Christ, he came to this earth, he lived this perfect and sinless life, and he died on a cross. Why did he do that? For sin. The Bible says that we've all sinned, that we've all made mistakes, we've all fallen short of the glory of God. And the only way that we can have our sin forgiven and have the hope of eternal life is by trusting in Christ's finished work on the cross. And if you're in this place today and you've never done that, you can do that this morning. The Bible says that everyone who calls on the name of the Lord will be saved. Again, you're saved from the penalty of your sin. How do you do that? Well, the Bible says that you simply respond in faith. You can maybe pray a prayer from your heart this morning that says something like this: God, I know that I'm a sinner. I believe in my heart that Jesus Christ died on the cross for my sin. I confess that he is Lord and Savior. I trust in his finished work on the cross, and I commit my life to follow him from this point forward. That's the first step to true, authentic Christianity. That's the first step to living in total dependence on Jesus, is trusting him as Lord for the forgiveness of your sin. God, we come before your throne this morning, and we say thank you so much for this word that we saw this morning in James that calls us to simply watch our speech. Be people who are quick to hear, slow to respond, and to be people who are slow to anger. This word, it calls us to obey the word. It's the mark of followers of Christ. Even when it's difficult, even when it doesn't make sense, even when it goes against conventional wisdom, we're called to obey the word. So Father, we come this morning to Jesus and we look to him as our example. Thank you so much for his example, where he came and he lived a perfect and sinless life. We look to him as our example. We live in total dependence on Jesus Christ and the Spirit of God living inside of us to help us to do this. And God, today we thank you so much for the grace of Jesus, and we rest in that grace today, for the times that we've said the things we shouldn't have said, for the times that we will say those things that we shouldn't say, for the times that we disobey the word of God. We rest in the grace of Jesus for our shortcomings, and we thank you so much for the grace of Jesus today. We love you, God. We love you. In your name we pray. Amen. Church family, would you stand to your feet? We're just going to sing a song of worship, a song of surrender back to our God. I just want to encourage you just to sing this out, that you're going to give just your life to him. God, take my life. I surrender it to you. Use it for the glory and the honor and the praise of your name. God, use my words. Use my life. As I follow you the best that I know how, I surrender to you. God, use my life for your glory. Let's just sing the song of worship back to our God.
All to Jesus I